Thanks for joining us online at Highland Park Presbyterian Church. We're so glad you're here. On this podcast, you'll hear weekly teaching from God's Word, featuring messages from our incredible preaching staff and a variety of guest speakers. We hope the following message leaves you feeling encouraged and deepens your relationship with Christ. Enjoy the episode, and thanks for listening.
Now hear these words from Acts chapter 9. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 9, the build-up to what Callum is about to preach on. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Emily. And here we go. Good morning. So good to see you all. If we haven't met, my name's Callum Lindsay. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a joy to be with you this morning. And I hope you're having a great summer, whether you're here in person or joining us online. It's getting hot. Today we are looking at the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who also later became known as the Apostle Paul. And Saul, and next to Jesus, I think Saul, Paul is probably the most famous and influential people ever to have lived. The professor and author, Arthur C. Brooks, calls Saul, Paul the greatest entrepreneur in history. Because in human terms, Paul created, founded, launched the New Testament church across the known world. But as we'll see today and all the way through the book of Acts, that all started when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's this our sermon series, Filled with the Spirit. And we're seeing again how the Holy Spirit is working through the book of Acts. We see people filled again and again and again. So, and how he was filled with the Spirit, that's what we're about to find out. So if Paul is so famous, just take a moment to think, who is the most famous person you have ever met? Okay, turn and tell somebody else. This is an excuse to name drop terribly in church. So turn and tell the person next to you who's the most famous person you've ever met. And Jesus is a cop-out, just if you're saying that. Okay. I won't ask you to name them all. You're all famous as well, I know. But no matter how charismatic and wonderful that person you've just named might be or have been, there's usually a story behind them of somebody unseen who was used to encourage or support or promote them. And we're going to hear a story like that too. Just going back to that passage that Emily read, we heard Saul was heading to persecute the followers of Jesus in Damascus, many of whom had probably fled the persecution in Jerusalem that happened in chapters 7 and 8 of Acts, which happened between when Jim spoke to us last week in Acts chapter 6 and today. And it's humbling to note, and just to continue for our prayers, that Christians are still being persecuted in Damascus today. Even just last week, 23 Christians were killed at church. But then something happens. Saul's experience on the road to Damascus, it's now a figure of speech in everyday life, even if people don't know the story. the road to Damascus experience. And then this is what the storytellers call the inciting incident. Can you say that? Inciting incident. The inciting incident. The inciting incident of a story is the event that sets the main character or characters on the journey that will occupy them through the rest of the narrative. Typically, this incident will upset the balance within the main character's world, and that certainly did with Paul. Think about Lucy going through the wardrobe in Narnia and suddenly finding herself in a whole new world. Things are never the same. And Saul is confronted by this voice and a blinding light from heaven. And Saul asks the question of the Lord, which it very much the meaning is that it's the Lord Jesus. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And it's comforting to know that if we are ever persecuted for our faith, Jesus, we hear that Jesus takes it personally. When others are being persecuted, he takes it personally. And Saul is blinded and gets led by his friends, who are probably also a bit freaked out, if it was like me. And they take him into the middle of Damascus, and they're left knowing that he's fasting, which always implies praying, and probably asking God, "How could I have got things so wrong?" The God he thought that he was serving, he was actually persecuting. And one of the great takeaways from this passage is that there is no one too far from God's grace. Saul was arresting Christians for their faith and cheering on their stoning, as we heard earlier on in Acts. And if God welcomes Saul, that means that he will welcome you and me back, no matter what we have done, if we turn to him. And so if you today, you think that you have thought things, done things that has put you beyond God's grace, I want you to hear today, you are not too far from God's grace. He can call you back. And if you're needing a sign, this is a sign. I love this one. I saw a church near Cambridge. But Saul, as almost immediately, as we'll see in a moment, moves from being an antagonist to a hero, from an enemy to evangelist, persecutor to apostle. But there's something else that needs to happen. And we're going to look at a much less known or recognized character in the New Testament. I think he's probably one of the greatest unsung heroes of the New Testament. Without him, the testimony of Saul would have been very different, and that is Ananias. And there are three Ananiases in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. One just died a few chapters ago. There's this one, and then there's another one later on. But this is Ananias of Tarsus. And we're going to see how Ananias of Tarsus, an ordinary follower of Jesus, is filled with the Spirit. Phil visits Paul. And he is filled with the Spirit so that others might be filled. And through Ananias, we're going to see a framework, if you like, of being guided by the Holy Spirit in prayer. And that's what each one of us need and what we need God to do. It's what the PNC is doing on our behalf in searching for a senior pastor. And those three things are listen, ask, obey. Let's say them together. Listen, ask, obey. Okay, we're going to continue in Acts chapter 9, continuing at verse 10. If you've got your Bibles, please do open those. And Acts 9, starting at verse 10. We're going to hear what happens, and we're going to hear this listen, ask, obey. Now, there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he's praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." So this is the listening aspect. We're told in Acts 22 that Ananias was a devout observer of the law, highly respected by all the Jews living there. And so he's a Jewish Christian, like all of the Christians so far in the book of Acts. And which means that he studied the Old Testament scripture. He prays three times a day. But we know that he was probably part of the early disciples. He was filled with the Spirit, probably, and he probably fled to Tarsus. We don't know, but that's it's a good likelihood. But he now has a dream, a vision, a prophetic sense of which God uses to connect in to this dream and vision that Saul had. And whenever you see the same thing happening twice in Scripture, you need to watch out because God is up to something. And in fact, we just heard that there was a third vision. Paul had a second vision as well. So we need to be aware and listening out. And it's like a prophetic sense of that God uses to connect into this experience that Saul had. And from this vision, God, Ananias responds, "Yes, Lord." And that's, he's good at hearing God's voice, and he responds in the way that Isaiah responded and Samuel before him. And just talking about dreams and visions and thinking about even Damascus and the Middle East, it is incredible that God still appears in visions to people today, even in the most unlikely places. Researchers have demonstrated that among the reasons named by Muslims for why they've converted to Christianity, dreams are either the first or the second prevalent reason. Some have stated that dreams and visions are instrumental in the decision of over 50% of Muslims in converting to Christianity, which is amazing. So this can still happen today. And Ananias is on the alert because he's listened to the God who's told him to go. And there's a great need for us to listen to God. Prayer is not just speaking out. It's about listening as well. I always remember Nikki Gumbel, my old boss, saying, when you go to the doctor, you don't just get there and share all your aches and pains and list them all off and then say, "Oh, right, see you, off, I'm bye now." You need to stop and listen and to hear what he has to say. Prayer is a two-way street. And I parents, you'll know this. I realize I'm often asking my children to stop what they're doing and to look at me in the eyes, and to listen when I'm speaking to you. But how much more do I need to do that to my Heavenly Father? Prayer is not primarily about talking at or to God, but ultimately listening to him and hearing his voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Because prayer, if you think about it, is the ultimate reason for our existence. We are born, we are created to commune, to connect with God. But how can we pray and listen to God? Just three very quick ways. Scripture. I mean, God is always speaking to us, but his primary way is through this book. And if we want to know how to listen to the Holy Spirit, then we need to be reading the words that the Holy Spirit has inspired. That's the primary way we can get to know what God's voice is like. But after we've reflected and sort of filled up with Scripture, we need to reflect on who God is, and we need to take time to quiet our hearts and minds so that we can listen for the Father's voice. And it's not easy with kids and jobs and dogs and whatever it is, but it's less about the amount of time and more the intentionality of how we connect with God. We know God spoke clearly to Saul, but it doesn't say how loud his voice was to Ananias. My hunch is that God spoke to Ananias as he was taking time silently before the Lord in prayer. And then one final thing, I'm just passing on something I'm relearning, which is journaling my prayers. And that's just so that I can start to scribble down a sense of what I think God might be saying, either through Scripture or through my prayers. And so it's just, I'm encouraging you, it's a really helpful way. Because most of the time we don't get given visions and audible voices, but it's more like a quiet whisper of God nudging us through Scripture and the circumstances of our lives. So let's go on. We're going to look at the ask aspect. And this is Acts 9 in verse 13, if you've got your Bibles. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." When we pray and sense something from God, it's only right that we would test that message. that we ask God what it means. It's a part of our discernment process. It's how we form it. It's in everyday life and in friendships. We ask questions. And this text does not say so. However, I have a strange feeling after sitting with this text for so long that I bet you that Ananias had probably been praying about the situation of Saul coming to his hometown and persecuting the Christians, and him being one of them. I wouldn't have been surprised if Ananias had prayed a prayer earlier, Lord, do something. Would you do something, Lord? Just, would you change him? Would you do something? If there's anything, Lord, if you need me to do anything, here I am, Lord. And he was obviously open to God and practiced listening to God. But then Jesus answers. And he tells Ananias to do something that seems pretty drastic in the extreme, to go into the lion's den, literally, almost, and meet with Saul. And I think it's totally understandable that Ananias is a little fearful and scared. I mean, I would be. And I think Ananias is confused, so he does something that I know I need to learn to do more of in prayer with God, which is to ask God a question. Lord, how does this make sense? Are you sure? That guy's crazy. It's okay to have a conversation with God. God longs to have a conversation with us. He wants to comfort our doubts, calm our fears. We just need to read the lives of Moses and Elijah, read the book of Psalms to realize that it's okay to challenge and question God. And Jesus is so kind and gives a sort of explanation and pulls back the veil, if you like, to Ananias, to his plans and purposes. And he shares, like, Saul's going to be used to tell so many people about Jesus. And it's interesting that the little tidbits, that's how much poor Saul is going to suffer and that he's going to present to kings and to the Gentiles. Ananias doesn't say that, we're going to find out. He doesn't say that to Saul. But I think it's like it opens up. It's God giving Ananias just a little bit more information that he might be able to honor him. I mean, I was reading a book the other day about a mission that the SAS, the British Special Forces Regiment, was doing in the 1980s. And I was struck by the fact, and it was something that they noticed that in this operation, all the police officers were shocked at. But the SAS, when they were briefed, they are not just told to take their orders for granted. They are requested, they are told they have to ask questions, clarifying questions, so that they know everything about it, that they know the whole picture of the mission that they're entering, so that they can carry it out effectively no matter what happens. And if you've got young children, you know all about this. But why? 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 And though it can drive me totally up the wall at times, I realize my children are seeking to understand. And Jesus doesn't want us to be mindless automatons, just following our orders. He wants us to be involved. He very clearly said to his disciples, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends." So keep asking God clarifying questions. It's essential that we ask God good questions and stay listening. That's why on Alpha, just asking questions as a host, we just ask questions. We're not there to answer. Ultimately, the questions are there to prompt people to what they think. And the response that God could speak in any of these ways, if you've done Alpha, there's the 5 CSs of God's guidance. And just very quickly, compelling spirit, commanding scripture, circumstantial signs, common sense, and counsel of the saints. So good, so helpful, a little framework. And God might respond. He might respond with a little verse of scripture. Probably. A booming voice? Almost never. And something, it's just something like a feeling of a maybe something, a quiver in the liver, as J. John, our friend, calls it. But we need to hear again that we are all called to share the love of Jesus with all people, no matter their race, their status, or religion. And Ananias has to decide if he listens to what others say about Saul, or when he answers God, what God is saying about Saul. We need to go to answer our questions and form our opinions rather than the world telling us what it thinks and what the world forming our opinions. We need to be asking God questions. So here's a question. What is a question you need to ask God today that will help you move forward in something that he's been asking you to do for a long time? What's that question you need to ask God today? Okay, on to the last section. So we've had listen, ask, and obey. Acts 9, starting verse 17, continuing on in that passage. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. Taking food, he was strengthened. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately, he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And this is the moment where Ananias comes to Saul. He goes to the place that God told him to go, truly not knowing if he would be killed, where he very well could have been if he'd heard God wrong, if he'd got it wrong. But he obeyed. And look at the incredible outcome that happened. He came in, laid hands on Saul, and said, "Brother Saul," being filled with the Holy Spirit himself, he was able to go and see Saul filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's extraordinary that it wasn't enough for Saul just to see a blinding light, hear God's audible voice, and receive a personal vision. He also needed another human being who, out of obedience, came to minister personally and practically to his spiritual and physical needs. The healing may have been supernatural, but the meal and the baptism weren't. Sometimes I wish God would send me a vision, an angel, or a dream, but mostly he just sends another Christian. I can be tempted to seek God on my own, but when he speaks, heals, helps, and comforts, it's almost entirely through other people, you. That is why we need one another. Without active participation in the local expression of the body of Christ, we will never become fully the people God is calling us to be. We need one another. And so through the love and care of Ananias, Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. And how do we know? We're not told he started speaking in tongues at this point, like the disciples at the day of Pentecost. But instead, he's given a tongue that immediately starts proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. And Saul later wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever said Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." We must never underestimate the value of one person being brought to Christ. Ananias was sent to only one man, yet what a difference one man made. I don't know if you've heard of Albert McMakin. You might do. He was 24 years of age. He was a farmhand in North Carolina. And he'd just become a Christian, and he was really excited. And he heard about this mission going on, this guy speaking about Jesus every night. And he wanted to bring his friends. And there was one guy he really wanted to get, and that was the 16-year-old son of the farmer that he worked for. And the guy was good-looking, had lots of girlfriends, was planning to be a professional baseball player, so wasn't very excited in fanatical Christianity, as he called it. So Albert McMakin thought, he's 16 years old, I know how I'm going to get him. So he said, "I'll let you drive my truck." And the guy says, "All right, okay, I'll drive the truck, but I won't come in." So the young guy drives everyone. But once he was there, he was so curious to see what all the fuss was about, he snuck in at the back. And to his surprise, and in his words, he was utterly spellbound. And he went back night after night. And on the last night, the speaker said, "If you want to give your life wholly to Jesus, come to the front." And the farmer's son got up and went to the front. And from that day until he died, that farmer's son saw thousands upon tens of thousands of people come to follow Jesus. He was the friend and confidant of 9 American presidents and estimated he spoke about the love and need for Jesus one way or another to half of the world's population. His name, of course, Billy Graham. And the year was 1934. We can't all be Billy Grahams. I'm not. But we can all be Albert McMakins, bringing obedient to what God's put on our heart and bringing our friends to Jesus. The story of Billy Graham is incredible, but it's incomplete without, apart from the faithfulness of Albert McMakin. And praying and being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean we're all going to be like the Apostle Paul, changing the whole world. But it does mean that we can be like Ananias, faithfully in praying and listening to God and obeying his call. So there's finally this aspect of obedience and obeying. We really don't like that word, unless it's to do with our children or our dogs. But for ourselves, it grates on our ego. We would love to rather willingly follow or be led as if we're still in charge. But we won't always get a full explanation of why we're supposed to obey or to follow in a certain way with God. I doubt even that God's explanation was enough for Ananias, because after a while, we just have to do it. We have to do what God is calling us to do. And I want my children to ask good questions, but sometimes they just need to clean their room. And all the way, right away, with a happy heart, as Flora's teacher says. Because sometimes asking questions doesn't help us learn anymore, does it? Sometimes the greatest learning will come from doing that hard thing and following the instruction. For my children, they're the one that I've given them, and for myself, what God has told me to do. And I know in my exasperation level as a parent, when I'm longing for my children to obey, how much more does my Father in heaven feel about me, his child? But willingly submitting ourselves and obeying God and what he's called us to do is the height of truly following Jesus. As C.S. Lewis wrote, when we lose ourselves in obedience, we find peace. And so it isn't a gritting our teeth, a sort of grudging compliance, but a response of love to the one who first loved us. I don't want my children to obey me because they're just a grudging obedience. I want it because they love me and they trust me. And it's the same. That's what God feels for us. We need to have a responsive love to the one who first loved us. And it takes trust because there will be a sacrifice to our reputation, our control, and our comfort. I think as Christians, we need to have the Nike benediction. Just do it. I have frequently failed to heed that nudge, but every time I have, I have had that peace. So is there something God has asked you to do? Somebody he's wanted you to connect with, to join back up with, to reach out to support, to care for? I'm just going to encourage you to do it. And as the Book of Common Prayer puts it, oh God, to know you is eternal life, to serve you is perfect freedom. So as a people filled with the Spirit, we are trusting in God's love. We're called to pray and be ready to God's call for us. And the way we do this is to listen, praying, expecting God to speak, ask, keeping on asking him questions and being honest with him, and obey. Just do it. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you, would you, if you're able to stand and to just close your eyes, and that we would pray. And if you needed a sign today and you've been wondering, could God ever meet me? I want you to take a moment to open yourself up to God and allow God to speak to you. To receive his love, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to submit to him. And for all of us to be a people who listen. A listen to the Lord. Father, would you help us be a people who listen to you in everything? And Father, where you're asking, Lord, help us ask, turn to you, ask you questions where we're stuck. Where we need your help, we need your insight, we need your help. And Lord, help us follow, help us obey you. And as we sing, as we worship, as we put our eyes on him, would our bodies, our lives, our minds, our souls, our hearts be orientated to him? Would we go and do it for his sake? Let's worship.
We hope you enjoyed this message and we look forward to connecting with you in person soon. Each week, we study God's Word together on Sundays at 8:15, 9:30, and 11 a.m. You can go to hbprez.org/Sundays to plan your next visit and stay updated on our current sermon series. God bless, and we'll see you next time.